House Finance Committee, it's 3:33 p.m. on April 8th, 2011. We have members present, Representative Chu, Representative Wilson, Representative Bettenberg, Vice Chair Fairclough Stoltz, Co-Chair Thomas, Representative Dugan, Representative Costello, and welcome back, Representative Newman. We have a quorum to do business and Representative Edgman. I was trying to do that without looking. We have a quorum to do business. We have one item before us today, and that's House Bill 160. We have a proposed House Finance Committee substitute. Invite the chairman of EDT, Representative Heron, and the co-chair staff forward, and I'll ask the vice chair to move the CS, and I'll object for discussion of the measure.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I move the CS for House Bill 160 Finance 27-LS0509/S, dated 4/2/11, before the committee.
And I'll object. Welcome, Mr. Eklund, Representative Heron. Who wants to start? The sponsor or the staff? What you?
Mr. Chairman, Pete can handle the CS very well.
Okay. Mr. Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Peter Eklund, staff to Co-Chair Thomas. What you have in front of you is a committee substitute. Would you like me just to walk through the bill or just go through the...
Why don't you walk through the bill?
Okay. Sure, Mr. Chairman. Basically, on the first section is conforming, and I'll explain the difference later. Section 2 changes the date when an initial contract needs to be entered into with the QTA from April 1st to June 1st. April 1st is typically when the legislature is still in session. It's kind of early. We've pushed that back to June 1st. By then, the legislature would have adjourned, and it would be known how much was appropriated for the QTA.
That's the most optimistic thing I've heard. Mr. And Representative Garrett has joined us as well.
Thank you. Further in Section 2 of the bill, as you are probably aware, if legislation or if the law has not changed right now on July 1st of this year, the QTA reverts back to a 50-50 match. And what this legislation proposes to do is, instead of a dollar-for-dollar match, it would make it a $2 state for every $1 of industry contribution match. So it moves from 1-for-1 to 2-for-1, Mr. Chairman. And then Section 3 of the bill would shrink the board. I believe the current board, if I remember right, is 32 members. This would shrink the board to 9 members. 3 members would be selected by the governor from the cruise lines. They'd serve 3-year terms, and they would not be confirmed by the legislature. And then there would be 6 members selected through the QTA or the ATIA membership. 2 of the members are supposed to be from tourism entities that employ fewer than 50 people. At least one of them should be from a tourism company or entity that employs between 50 and 250 people, or 51 and 250 people. And then at least one of the people on the board should be from an entity that employs more than 250 people. And then there are 2 at-large members. And those would be selected, all those 6 members would be selected by the membership of the QTA. Section 4 of the bill adds a restriction. There are already 3 restrictions in law. It adds a 4th. It says basically that the QTA, an entity that is getting state funds through this contract, cannot employ a person or pay a person to lobby the legislature regarding the funding of the contract. And then Section 5 repeals 4433-125D. And what D says in current law, among other things, one of the things that D says is that if there's an appropriation of Section D, that it's left up to the Commissioner of Department of Commerce, Community Economic Development, to determine whether there's a match required or not. And so that section would be repealed. And then Section 6 is just a transition section for the members who would be appointed by the governor. And then Section 7, it would take effect on July 1st of this 2011. That's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Phipps of Heron, do you have any overall remarks on the?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Representative Bob Heron, is the version that came out of Economic Development, Tourism, and Trade had a task force provision, but since then the House Majority Leader has introduced House Bill 222, and we've heard it in committee, and it'll become an interim project for that committee, and we envision three or four meetings over the interim to come back in January with Representative Osterman and present our findings and move forward with 222. And then the other part that I believe has good merit is essentially the formula.
Thank you. And this is I appreciate the effort of the folks that worked on this, Representative Heron, Mr. Co-Chair, kind of turn this over to you. We had a little bit of a dust-up on this issue, and you know, the process, I didn't prevail in my opinion, and Representative Costello as well worked to try to find something. We don't always get our way around here exactly as we want. We adapt to the best possible solution we have under the circumstances, and that's what I'm looking forward to advance through this process. And it's not my first choice, but it's where I think we can achieve a solution. But Representative Dugan.
Chairman, I just want to make sure that I understand what's here in front of me. In terms of the financing, the state would pay $12 million and the industry would pay six. Is that what the two-for-one formula is?
Mr. Eckert.
Through the chair, Representative Dugan, that's correct.
Okay. Is there a provision for what happens if the industry doesn't pay
Through the chair, Representative Dugan, the way the formula would work, if the industry contributed $4 million, they would receive eight of the $12 million appropriated by the legislature.
Thank you very much.
Representative Guerra.
Mr. Chair, I just want to keep track of the history of what we've been paying. And just going back to the last year, the cruise ship industry contributed $5 million, and then they stopped doing that. But can you give me the history as far back, Pete, as you can remember for what the percentage has been since that time when they paid the $5 million and then what the state contribution has been?
Through the chair, Representative Guerra, when you said the last year, you mean this last year or?
Through the chair, as I recall, when I first started on the Finance Committee, that was close to the last year the cruise ship industry was contributing, I think, $2.5 or $5 million.
Through the chair, Representative Garrett, I can't off memory, but I have seen a piece of paper that has given me that shows a history of the funding. I believe that perhaps the Commissioner of Commerce might be able to help you with that. She's in the audience.
That would be fine.
Any other questions for these gentlemen?
Just one more, Mr.
Representative Garrett.
I recall hearing a discussion that there would be a task force, which is what you referred to, and that it would try to come up with a plan for more stable financing and possibly more robust industry financing. Is that the test? Am I wrong about that? I just don't know what Representative Osterman's bill does. But I know you talked about the task force. I just don't know what's in it.
Through the chair, Representative Guerra, in the dialogue in the committee, this is before 222 came out, Representative Osterman's promotion and marketing commission, there was discussion that there should be a task force over the interim to figure out a long-term plan when it comes to marketing, tourism marketing appropriations. And so there was going to be a group of people that the governor would asked to serve on legislators, both on the EDT committee and outside of the EDT committee in the House. But after the majority leader introduced him, his legislation, we thought it through and figured that would be a perfect vehicle for the EDT committee to use over the interim, and we would invite stakeholders in. And so the plan is to, in lieu of a task force, is the committee is to go to parts of the state, invite stakeholders to be a part of a process that could look at Representative Osterman's legislation, suggest changes, and then bring it back in January, and then that particular bill would go through, hopefully with recommendations and buy-in from stakeholders.
And just finally, Mr. Chair.
Representative Garrett.
But there's no sunset to this, so if that bill doesn't pass, this remains the law, or is there a sunset to this?
Through the Chair, Representative Garrett, is regardless of 160 or any proposed legislation in the future, it'd be my understanding that it would essentially revert back to what's going to happen in July 1 of this year is 50-50. So whatever the contribution is by the for example, the ATIA group, is it's $1, gets you $1 from state funding.
Through the chair, that's in the bill here somewhere that it reverts back to 50-50?
Through the chair, Representative Garrett, this legislation does not sunset the way it's proposed right now. I believe what Representative Harris was speaking of is if this bill does not pass, the law will be 50-50 on July 1st. But this is intended to be a long-term solution to the annual squabbles over funding for this contract.
Thank you.
Representative Costello.
Thank you, through the chair, Representative Heron. I just wanted to thank you for your acknowledgement of the importance of the tourism industry to our economy, and I know that we share that recognition. I think I see any money that we spend on tourism marketing in Alaska as an investment in an important part of our economy, and certainly having the Anchorage International Airport, Ted Stevens International Airport, in my district, and the people that I represent, they certainly appreciate knowing that they will have an opportunity to continue their marketing of tourism. And when we heard, when we've had discussions in this committee before about tourism, we've heard from people all over the state of Alaska, from small family-owned businesses to larger businesses, and I think it's really important that we do provide an opportunity for the marketing to continue. Thank you.
I'll remove my objection to adoption of the House Finance CS. Is there any objection maintained that the Finance CS is before us? We have some public testimony. We have three people signed up online. We have folks here in Juneau. We'll see. We have Julie Soppy.
Some of our board members there who are going to
testify
on behalf of AKA.
Okay, if they're here, I hope they'll sign up. Let's see. We have, thank you, Ms. Sophie. Alan LeMaster. I don't see Mr. LeMaster, so I know he must be online.
Yes, I am online. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, loud and clear.
Good afternoon. My name is Alan LeMaster. I'm the owner and president of Gakona Junction Village, located on the Richardson Highway in East Alaska. This marks about the 20th time that I've come before this committee and other committees over the last several years pleading a case for perennial funding for tourism and marketing in Alaska. Some years we worked on stopgap measures just to ensure that Alaska's image is perpetuated from year to year. We've signed time-certain contractual agreements so good economical broad-based programs can be developed from year to year. We've submitted, at least at the behest of the legislature, perennial programs that would give us the ability to build long-term marketing program and grow sustained visitation for years in the future. Those efforts were denied. After reading the latest version of the CS HB160, which is before you today, we're now looking at a complete restructuring of the 30-member marketing council from the one we've had for many years into a 9-member board that appears to be heavily weighted to the mega corporations inside and outside the state. Our system truly represents all sectors of our industry. Folks from all regions, all business models, the groups of small businesses with less than 5 employees to the mega corporations that sit with us and interact effectively to produce the single most effective marketing efforts of any program in tourism around the world. This bill will simply be establishing yet another layer of expensive bureaucracy with less experience, less talent, and less dedication than exists today. I want to bring to your focus a major condition of what you're looking at. Currently, the Marketing Council is made up of dedicated volunteers from across the state. These dedicated volunteers, on their own dime, meet often to develop our programs. These dedicated volunteers are among some of the finest marketing experts in the state of Alaska, giving freely of their time. They don't receive reimbursement for diem, for travel expenses, for hotel expenses, for meal expenses. In fact, they don't receive a single dime for attending the many meetings necessary to build this very successful program in the industry. They do it for the love of Alaska and for the sustainable development of Alaska businesses. They do it to spotlight their companies, their businesses, their communities, their regions, the state, and for the benefit of their families and all the over 35,000 good folks in the Alaska tourism industry. This program is not broken. It does not require a major fix. Today, I ask that you approve for this year the original HB 160 as proposed by Governor Parnell, and then let us all, the legislature and the industry, possibly with HB 222, spend 2011 and 12 developing a permanent, perennial fix that will serve all the people of Alaska well into the future. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Mr. LeMaster. Next, we have just listed for questions. I'll ask her anyway if you want to testify, Ms. Hickok.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did not want to testify. I'm only here for questions. Patty Mackey, who's in the room, will be officially conveying from the ATIA board. I serve as chair of the board, but since I'm not in the room, I'm just here for questions.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Hickok.
Thank you.
Ms. Mackey.
Good afternoon, Chairman. My name is Patty Mackey. I'm the president and CEO of the Ketchikan Visitors Bureau, and I serve as vice chair of government relations for the Alaska Travel Industry Association. First of all, an apology on the mix-up on the signing in to testify. Hope I didn't delay the meeting today. First of all, thank you to the sponsors for bringing this bill forward. I am here today primarily to reiterate our desire to work with the legislature and the administration to earn support for sustained funding to market Alaska, to help the industry regain its footing after the past few years of decline, and to grow the economic benefits that this industry sector delivers to our communities, our families, and the state. The tangible benefits of our industry, without question, are jobs for Alaskans and opportunities for independent business ownership that are as limitless as our ability to come up with a new idea and execute it. 10 years ago, who would have thought that we would be able to zip line across Alaska in 5 different communities? But today we can. The value of new money that's introduced into the coffers of our local municipalities in the state of Alaska is another tangible effect of a stable and healthy industry. But perhaps less tangible is the opportunity for greater understanding of our great land, our culture, and our people. Visitors catch and taste our world-renowned seafood. They visit spots along the Alaska pipeline. They marvel at our 24-hour daylight and the amazing agricultural opportunities it provides. They learn about us, they go home, and they share what they know. Since 2008, we've lost approximately 4,000 jobs and market share. State revenues from tourism taxes have declined. Small tourism businesses closures have occurred throughout Alaska. While we see indications of recovery, we have not regained what's been lost. I know that all of you here today understand the principal needs of growing our industry, and on behalf of our association, I thank you for the time that you've all spent in meetings, hearings, and informational gatherings. I'd especially like to thank you for your willingness to increase the funding provided in FY 2011, because those additional marketing dollars have been responsible for substantial growth in our marketing efforts this past year. Alaska TV spots are airing on 7 different networks instead of just one. Alaska Magazine and Internet advertising has grown significantly, and the results for us today are higher awareness and increased intention to visit Alaska, as stated by consumers who participated in research we were able to conduct earlier this year. Maintaining this level of marketing is extremely important to bringing the industry back and opening the door for future growth and development. And with that, I say thank you for your time today.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Patty Mackey.
Hi, Patty. You mentioned that state revenue from tourism taxes have gone down. Outside of the cruise ship industry, most of your members, my understanding, don't pay state taxes unless they're registered as a C corporation. Am I wrong about that?
Through the chair, Representative Guerra, there are some tourism entities that pay corporate tax, but my statement, I think, was a little bit broader than that in regard to if you want to think about municipal sales taxes and some of the fees and services that are applied at a local level as well.
Okay, and then through the chair. And do you know the answer? I would just like to know the last few year history of the state and industry match. Do you know that history, or I can wait for Commissioner Bell?
Through the chair, it's been a little bit scattered. I'm sorry?
Erratic,
yes, thank you. We have, most recently, the match has been 70-30 with the industry, and that's been the last 3 years. That's the level that sunsets at the end of this current fiscal year. We have been at 50-50. We've been at 60-40 in the past.
Through the chair, 70-30, which way?
30% industry.
Thank you.
Representative Guerra. Anybody else for Ms. Mackey? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Richard Cole.
Hi, my name is Richard Cole. I'm with Wings of Alaska. I'm the regional manager. And I just wanted to take a moment to speak in support of any sustained investment in marketing for tourism in the state of Alaska. Wings of Alaska is primarily a scheduled airline. We operate a tour out of Huna, but the vast majority of our business is scheduled traffic to and from rural communities in Southeast. We serve 6 communities in Southeast Alaska. Having worked in a number of Alaskan industries, I've been in the timber industry, the commercial fisherman. I've been involved in travel and tourism for the last 14 years in various positions. But it's my impression that any investment in marketing of Alaskan tourism is an investment in all Alaskan industries. Having been involved in seafood, you know, when we bring a million tourists to Juneau and they're eating Alaskan seafood, that's something they take back with them to their communities throughout the United States. It's an investment in infrastructure throughout the state. I guarantee you that the increase in our business in the summer absolutely subsidizes infrastructure as far as being able to offer flight service to a number of small communities based on what we're able to make off of the tourism industry in the summer. Because we essentially bleed for the 6 months of the winter season. But the increase in traffic, not just in tourists, but in the support of, you know, increase in mail, increase in shipping, all of these things are supported by the tourism industry in Southeast Alaska. So, you know, the investment in marketing is not just for tourism, but it's for every industry that we operate in the state. And so I would say that any effort to make this a more sustained investment is a good investment.
Any questions for Mr. Cole? Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else who's not a government official who wishes to testify, either online or here in the audience? Commissioner Bell.
Thank you and good afternoon. Susan Bell, Commissioner for the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, officially. Thank you. I signed up because I did, in case there weren't questions, want to mention a few brief comments on behalf of Governor Parnell and the department. We definitely are committed to growing and strengthening and diversifying our economy. Until recently, tourism had been one of our growth industries. It's a significant employer with a peak employment over 40,000. And as Patty Mackey had mentioned, there was considerable job loss over the two-year period between 2009 and 2010 when we lost both a considerable number of independent visitors in 2009, approximately 125,000 independent visitors, and more than 140,000 lost cruise passengers. And so what we've seen in the course of this last year is signs of recovery in both of these markets. We still have a long way to go. I think it's important that we think about marketing as well as having a competitive tax and fee regime within our state and our outreach to our clients as an important sort of three-pronged approach to restoring the health of the industry. As the governor has stated privately and publicly, he would like to see us maintain the $16 million investment that we had made last year as part of continuing our recovery. Our department is very, very willing to work with the legislature on ways that we might do that through budget, through legislation. And we also want to be sure that we're working to ensure that any level of state investment is effective and that we're accountable. So, again, wanted to be sure I answered any questions. And if I can also take a moment just to address the questions that Representative Guerra were asking. Ms. Mackey asked questions or answered questions in terms of percentages. I just wanted to say that you were correct with your $5 million dollar amount. Previously, the industry had contributed through voluntary contributions by the cruise lines, through destination marketing organizations like Ketchikan. We have Anchorage CVB, Fairbanks CVB, Juneau CVB in the room here. Through the destination marketing organizations, through the cruise lines, and the businesses that participate in the state's program by having memberships in ATIA, placing ads, sponsoring events. There's a number of ways that is raised. And again, it had been, you were correct, at $5 million all in. With subsequent changes since the Millennium Plan was created in 1999, or implemented, it took some work to get there, there have been some significant changes in our tax on the visitor industry. In 2003, the vehicle rental tax was passed, and that is in the neighborhood of $7 to $8 million. It varies slightly each year. Also, of course, in 2006, the ballot initiative passed, which with the suite of taxes and fees, it was $70 million. There were new taxes and fees on the cruise portion of the industry. Last year, with changes made by the legislature, that was rolled back. It's still, while some of that information is confidential, it's still in the neighborhood of $40 million plus on that industry sector. So I wanted to put that information in context, in that when you look over the last decade at what had been $5 million in industry contributions down to 2.7 to provide some information about the background. So, again, I'm happy to answer any other questions, and thank you.
Representative Guerra.
Just going back to last year, Commissioner Bell, through the chair, wasn't last year 50-50, and the state only paid up to 50%?
Through the chair, Representative Guerra, the last couple of years, the legislature made a change after the passage of the ballot initiative in 2006, where it has been at 70-30, again, with 30% being the industry contribution, 70% state, but that provision would be expiring. So, July 1 of this year, it would be back to 50-50, and that was as a result of the considerable changes made in our tax structure after 2006.
Representative Guerra.
So when was the last time that it was 50-50? A few years back? Not last year?
Through the chair, Representative Guerra, it was, I think the last time it was 50-50 was immediately It actually, as Ms. Mackey had mentioned, it had gone from 70-30. It was stair-stepping up, and was probably 50-50 in approximately 2004, 2005. It had been at least 1 year 60-40. So, again, that there was a stair-stepping up. That was part of the Millennium Plan. But, again, I want to say that the industry paid fees and taxes increased during that period as well.
Just one final question, Mr. Chair. Just so I can have a historical context of the state's financial contribution, this year it's proposed to be up to $12 million. Can you tell me what the state's share in dollar contribution has been just the last 2 years?
Through the chair, Representative Guerra, in the present fiscal year that we're in, the state's contribution was $16 million, a level the governor would like to see continued. The prior year, I believe it was $9 million, and off the top of my head, I'd be happy to follow up, but I know that last year was an increase through a combination of the operating budget as well as the work done in the Senate and the House and the capital operating budget. So I'm 99% confident that it was $9 million, with $7 million coming from additional sources, so that last year was $16.
Thank you.
Representative Thomas.
Thank you. Ellen, Master said that 160 was the governor's bill. Is that true?
Through the chair, Representative Thomas, again, echoing the compliments of the work of EDT&T, it was a committee bill. So Ellen Lemaster's appreciation is more appropriately directed towards Representative Heron and the committee that worked on that.
Okay, thank you. And I just want to make sure people are aware that if this bill does not pass, that the tourism industry is at a 50-50, and that what the industry has told us they can raise is the max of 2.7 to 3 million. Without passage of this bill, their marketing plan would be 6 million, then. Am I correct?
Or
5.4.
You're correct, Representative Thomas.
And so I'm just wondering why the opposition, I sensed opposition. I mean, you know, you don't have to answer, but just for the information of the, I won't say anymore. We work very hard and try to put something together here that gets you off the 50-50 and go forward. But so
there was a minority view of a preferred route, but that's what it was. And this is a process of which you have to have six votes, so that's why we're looking at this alternative approach and working with the folks who to achieve a compromise. And so I understand what folks would like to have, but this is what's before us is I think the best thing we can achieve this session. I had different hopes, but this is where we're at, and I'm going to be happy with this compromise because it gives us the ability to work on improving cooperation between the state and the industry and this legislative body. So it's I view this as not as negative as others might. I view this as just an alternative progressive step, and it's the best one we have to take right now. Representative Costello and then Dugan.
Oh, thank you, through the chair. Just to sort of respond to in another way to Representative Guerra's comment, that I think that it's worth noting that the tourism industry brings in $138 million in contributions to the state's budget and $69.8 in municipal revenues, and so I view the amount that the state contributes as truly an investment. Thank you.
Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was looking at the commissioners last week. My understanding of what this bill does.
One of these days, I'll figure this out, or maybe not. My understanding of what this bill does is it would pay $12 million from the transfer, $12 million from the state to the industry. If the industry comes up with $6 million, and if the industry comes up with less than that, the state will pay whatever a 2-to-1 ratio is on that amount. Am I correct about that?
Through the chair, Representative Dugan, you're correct on the mechanism.
Thank you, if I might, Mr. Chairman. So, if the amount that the industry has said it will pay is 2.6 or 2.7 million, then what the state pays is whatever is a multiple of two times that. Is that correct?
Again, through the chair, Representative Dugan, if at a budget level of 2.7, which has been what the industry's been at the last few years, we would see 8.1 as a total. Yes.
In total. That's great. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions for the commissioner?
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. None. We'll go over to Mr. Eklund and Mr. Michelle. When you come forward, we'll talk about the fiscal note. Probably mostly Mr. Eklund. We'll close public testimony. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. We'll take one last call. Is there anybody here from the public we didn't hear from that wished to, or online? So we'll go ahead and officially close public testimony. Mr. Eklund?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just making sure I have the right fiscal note in front of me. Mr. Chairman, there's a minor technical fix that you should probably do to the fiscal note. If you look on the upper right-hand corner of your fiscal note, it says Department Affected, DCCED. That's correct. Where it says appropriation, it says economic development. That should not be economic development. It should be qualified trade association.
Okay. We'll note that as a change. You have that noted, Mr. Michelle? Just wanted to make sure we had that. The fiscal note's been pretty well described throughout the presentation. Are there any questions on it? That. Does anybody want to talk about this bill anymore? Representative Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move from committee the CS for House Bill 160 Finance 27-LS0509/S, amended fiscal notes, and individual committee recommendations.
Are there any objections? Hearing none. The bill's moved out of committee. Thank you again, Representative Herron, your staff, Mr. Co-Chair, and your staff, Representative Costello, for the amount of work you put into this project. Very well appreciated. Thanks to everybody that helped achieve a compromise and some forward progress on this issue when we were at a pretty desperate spot of not having a vehicle. I think this is a good vehicle to for us to move forward on advancing our commitment to tourism, and we'll see where it goes. But, folks, stay right now. We'll announce for tomorrow's schedule. We have just pending outcome of other events that may be going on in the building. We're tentatively having our hearing at 1 o'clock, with the, and that may change, but we'll keep you noticed. And that'd be 1 o'clock. So with that, we're adjourned until 1 p.m. tomorrow.